Well, I kind of hope that you don't hate bluegrass music because I needed that. Oh, my goodness. That was good. That's the capo on the fourth fret. I mean, you know, that's good stuff. And there's a reason I don't play like that. I'm not sure what it is other than a lack of talent, but I can still make noise. Good morning. It's hot and cold Saturday morning, Tom, here. Art show downtown Bangor today. My youngest child is displaying right across from Bagel Central. So if you're looking for art, go down there. You could say Father sent me, and she will not give you a deal. But she does have nice stuff. And she's been frustrated because she does stuff, puts it online, and it's been selling before, you know, stuff for today. But it's been selling. She, you know, this is what I did for the art show, and then somebody buys it. And that, you know, you got to have stuff to show at the art show, and people keep buying the stuff. That's all good, all good. Well, you know, there's a saying, I've shared it. It bears repeating today, and nature abhors a vacuum. And my wife, I said that to my wife recently because it's something I say a lot. And she said, what do you mean? Well, you know, if there, and I'm paraphrasing and adapting for my own personal use here, but if you have a really bad day, there's always a better day that averages out. So we don't have we don't function in a vacuum. A good day and a bad day, they kind of balance out. And I had some really good days this week, and then we had some really bad days, and you know, not horrible day. I mean, it's not like I've got cancer or, you know, somebody was in a car accident or somebody died. Not that bad, but just frustrating. So the good day was on Tuesday. I had picked up a 2022 Prius Prime that hit a deer, and it got delivered, and I was told it did not run. And you know, it was low miles, and it was obvious it wasn't hit that bad. I thought, I have a feeling this car will run. And the car came. And if you're in the business, so you're in the car business, and if you're shopping car parts, you're dealing with junkyards, you're dealing with tow drivers, especially out of state, the lion's share, this is my experience, which is probably colored, but I'm just telling you what I see. My experience is I'm dealing with a lot of Russian people. And the delivery guy was Russian. He had an accent. I thought, he's Russian. I didn't ask him what nationality he was. It was, you know, doesn't matter that much. But it was interesting. And I suspect they put the car on the trailer with a forklift. Never, because it wasn't running. So I got a jump pack, jumped the car, started right up. Drove it off the truck, drove it into the shop. Wonderful day. So that's off the table. The 12-volt battery's flat. I put a charge, and the 12-volt got charged it up, but it's in the shop. And then it all went downhill from there. Now I've got to take everything apart. And I would hope, you would hope, that as cars get newer, that maybe if there's any glimmer of humanity in the world, that some things would be simpler. You know, we learn from experience. Sometimes things, you know, if it's challenging, well, you re-engineer that, make it simpler. I've got to take stuff apart. I take dashboard apart. I want to tell you, now, I've taken apart a lot of dashboards. It's something I've done a lot of in the past, and they're getting more complicated and hairier to take apart. And I don't see the reason for that other than, remember last year we had that, I think it was last year we had that referendum about the right to repair? Well, we have the right to repair, but they're going to make it more complicated, so you don't want to repair. That's my theory. I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. And I won't call it a conspiracy. I just call it a trend. And it's frustrating. But I'm getting there. And I've got these little clips I had to take out. And I can't describe it over the radio, except I got online. Some people did YouTube videos. They use a tweezer to take out these little clips. There's a little clip inside a plastic thingamajig. And you go to get a tweezer, and you've got to depress two little tabs so you can pull the clip out. You depress the two little tabs, but you can't extract the thing. And I've messed with that since Tuesday. And yesterday afternoon, we got first step out of the way. And we have to thank Jim Dill, tick expert, bug expert from University of Maine Cooperative Extension Service. Jim had given me a pair of tweezers. I brought tweezers from home, but Jim had given me a pair of tweezers, God knows when, but they have really sharp, pointy ends, you know, for pulling a tick. And I took those tweezers and I bent the ends. I said, I'm either going to break it or it's going to work. And I bent the ends so they're pointing to each other, maybe just about a 32nd of an inch, not even that maybe, but just enough so I could grab those little tabs and work like a charm. So I'm like, you know what? This is cool. The powers that be have smiled upon me this day. I have blessings galore. Okay, take the tab thingamajig out, and now I should be able to extract the clip that the tabs were into. Uh-uh. There's another thingamajig you have to put in, and it looked like needle-nose pliers would, really skinny needle-nose pliers would work, and maybe that's what you use, but I don't have anything skinny enough, so we're hunting for those. In the meantime, I took two finishing nails and got them in, the little indents, and I actually removed one yesterday, but it's not very good. It's not very elegant way to do it. So I know there's a tool out there. But man, I tell you, it was all week. And it wasn't just that. It was other stuff. It's just like, this is a car. It was a 2022. This is a car I've not had to do any. I haven't had a touch. I haven't even driven one. I haven't had one new or excuse me, intact to sell. So, suffice it to say, it's a learning curve thing, and I'm headed down the curve, I'm somewhere on the curve, and I'm making progress, grudging, but we're there. But we got to take a break. It's 8:16. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be back in just a minute.
We got married in a fever. Since the fire went out, I'm going to Jackson. I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
Well, go on down to Jackson. Go ahead and wreck your head. Go play your Jackson, go comb your hair.
Honey, I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
See if I can.
Well, when I breeze into that city, look, mama, people gonna stoop and bow.
In the timbers up in Mario, the wolves are running round. The winter was so hot and cold, froze 10 feet beneath the ground. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me.
All right. It's 8:20. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We're back. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. I seem to have lined up an inordinate amount of bluegrass songs this morning, maybe because I've been working on banjos during the week. I have gone through so many, you know, I'm doing something different with this instrument in terms of building these. And, you know, you take a step, you make something, then you take it apart and you do it again. And I'm saving the prototypes in pieces at least. And the stack is getting kind of tall in my basement. But the most recent was I picked up a biscuit joiner that belonged to a friend of mine who passed away. His son was up visiting last week, and he has a bunch of tools. So I got a biscuit joiner that I actually had used in his shop about 20-some years ago. And so I bought it, and I needed to laminate, not laminate, but connect two pieces of oak. I'm making a resonator out of oak. And God, I love oak. It's just such a nice, it has a lot of things going for it. It's not normally used in musical instruments. I had a theory many years ago that it would be a good instrument material, but you just didn't never seen much of it. Usually guitars, banjos for that matter, are usually made out of mahogany, walnut, maple is a big one, sometimes birch. So oak was not one of them. I thought, well, why not? And as it turns out, years later, people have been using oak. So I said, I'm going to use oak. And we had reasons for using it. And so I needed to cut a round piece. I needed to end join two pieces together with biscuits, which I did. Went together nice. I had also picked up a couple of bar clamps from his shop. I bought from his son. And I glued it together. And I had a circle cutter to hook up to a little router. And I got set up, was that 4th of July? I went to cut the circle. I glued it the day before. I glued it on Wednesday the 3rd. And I got the circle cut. I got everything measured. I got this, I picked up a, I guess it was a Harbor Freight. I was looking for a compass. I wanted to draw a nice circle. You know, and I had, you know, drafting equipment. I don't know where it is. So I picked up a compass, and I found myself needing one a lot. If you're making round banjo type things, you need a compass. So anyway, I got the compass. I've drawn the circles, and I got everything set up. And the oak is 3/4 inch thick. So I said, okay, this is a little router. I'm going to do 1/4 inch passes to cut the circle. And it starts drifting. And it took me a little while. I figured out what I had done wrong. And then my friend Dick suggested, well, you know, you need to use two hands. You have one pushing the router. And on the other end of the mechanism, if you will, the cutter, you guide it as well. So you not have too much stress on the center point. Duh. I should have known that. But anyway, and I ruined the piece. And I said, that's okay, Tom. You know, this is, I haven't ever cut circles with a router. It's not a big deal. And I hadn't used a router probably in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I had no need to. So it was kind of getting reacquainted with using a router and not a big deal. It's a fun, you can do a lot of cool stuff with routers. So that's okay. I can cut this piece up. I need little pieces of wood for what I'm doing. So it's not wasted. Well, some of it's wasted. Anyway, so I glued together. I got my biscuit cutter out. I glued together another piece. Went back and did it. And it, like butter, came out perfect. Then I turned the edges with a 1/4 round. And it came out nice. Now here's the thing that is interesting, and you know, if you're not into musical instruments or you don't make stuff like this, it may be not of interest to you. But the thing that was interesting to me is I went in the morning, I cut the thing, rounded the edges, sanded it at my shop. I wasn't there an hour. I cut up all the wood I needed for making the rest of the instrument. And I went home and glued up most everything and stopped. I needed some I would have gone further, but I needed some hardware. So yesterday morning, I hit the hardware store at 7 a.m., got what I needed, and I wanted to paint it. So I painted the hardware yesterday morning. I got home last night and assembled the round part of the banjo, the pot, in like no time. I mean, it's just really, this is a really simple thing I'm doing because I'm just not that, I'm a simple person, I guess. And I'll finish it. And I'm looking at it. Why don't you finish it now? And not an hour later, the whole instrument's done. So I've got not, and this is one of the cool things about what I've been doing here, is the amount of time involved. Now, I'm not making the necks. I'm buying necks pre-made. I'm eliminating that whole part of the equation. I'm not that kind of a craftsman. So we're going to let that go to somebody else because there's a lot of time involved, and at some point I might make them. Right now I don't need to. But I got the whole things together, and this is the beauty of what we've been doing, is it just goes together quickly. And I had made a similar instrument last week, but the back part, the resonator part, was plywood. It was part of my subfloor from the house, and it was left over. It was southern yellow pine plywood. I said, okay, I'm going to use oak now. Oak is denser. It's going to look nicer. It's easy to finish the, you know, it's not plywood, so you don't have the lamination showing. You just round the edges and it's done. But it's also a harder wood, which would tend to maybe, this is a theory, reflect the sound better. Got it together last night, and I'm like, ooh, this sounds good. I've been telling myself that a lot, but we're making incremental steps here. And it's just cool. And making this thing up, especially making it, in-house, all the little pieces I made was scrap from when I cut the circle, you know, because it was a square piece of wood that I had glued together. And you got the edges you cut off when you do the circle. And those pieces I was able to use for the rest of the assembly. And I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, this is working out pretty good. The point of view, I hit Hammond Lumber. They have, I had looked at Home Depot, because they're there and they're convenient. And looked at the cost of oak, and they have some nice stock. And then I checked with Hammond Lumber. Hammond Lumber is like 30% cheaper. And went and got an 8-foot piece of 1x8. And it was about $875 a board foot. It's not cheap, but it's not crazy money. So I've got a couple of feet. You know, I got maybe $20 in oak for that piece. I bought the a router. I think it was $58, $60, call it. And I made it. I also bought some bits too. I have to admit, I $30 set of bits, just because you got to have tools. I do have router bits, but I get more router bits. What the hell? And if I had gone and bought a resonator pre-made, I would have spent $200, maybe $100 for a cheap one. If I found a deal, I could get it for less. But I'm set up now to make the things. So I'm not bored. I will be bringing, I'm going to bring this one in. I want to adjust the action on the neck a little bit. It's playable, but I'd like to lower the action. So I've worked out, it's all starting to be cookie cutter stuff, which is pretty cool, which is why they're going so fast. I can get them together pretty quickly, because I've made it into a cookie cutter operation. Speaking of cookie cutters, we should hear some more banjo music, shouldn't we? I'm sorry, it's banjo morning. It's been banjo week. It's July. That's banjo season, I think, don't you? We'll be right back.
You know my girl now. Yeah. You know my girl just called me up, and she woke me from my sleep. You should have heard the things she said. You know she hurt my feelings deep. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog.
Why? 'Cause I need a friend now. I'm gonna buy me a dog. My girl, no love, no how.
Don't ruin my song. It's the only song.
All
I
right,
have.
We're back. It's 8:35. You're gonna you want a dog? You say you want to get a dog? Is that what you're saying, Mickey? Well, Mickey, speak to Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Tom, and good morning, Mickey. I'm sure that Mickey Dolenz is listening out there somewhere.
He is. Mickey and I were tight, you know?
You know, if you were thinking about bringing a dog into your life or
yes.
a cat,
yes.
today would be an awesome day to do it. And wow, do we have some great candidates here at Bangor Humane Society on Mount Hope Avenue. You want to adopt a dog and meet your new best friend.
Mm.
You know, an animal can change your life.
That's for sure.
I have discovered that many times in my years. Animals just make everything better, at least as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's
and
true.
We have
know that's
dog.
True.
We have dogs. We have cats that I want to tell you about. But before we get there, Tom, you know, when you think of prestigious golf tournaments, which ones come to mind? Like the Masters, the U.S. Open?
No, I'm thinking of one closer to home, Mike.
That's the one that I think of first. It is coming up on August 10th, very prestigious golf tournament, and the beneficiaries, the Bangor Humane Society.
Yes.
It is the Blackstream Custom Cycles second annual charity golf tournament with games and prizes. There will be a silent auction. They're going to provide you with a barbecue lunch.
Oh, boy.
8 o'clock registration, 9 a.m. shotgun start. It's $100 per person, $400 per team with four players per team. And you'll find out all the information and the registration link, bangorhumane.org. As soon as that page loads, that should be the very first thing you see. You click on that, and you're all set. You're going to have a great time golfing, you and your friends, and you're going to be saving animals here at Bangor Humane Society.
I saw that. I tuned in first thing this morning and saw it, and I said, that's coming right up. It'll be here before we know it.
That's right. I know we have a lot of golfers who listen to Hot and Cold, and that would be a really fun thing for you to get involved with, and it would make you feel good, too. I mean, you're going to be having a blast while you're playing golf, and just knowing that all of that money is going to help the animals at Bangor Humane Society. Animals, Tom, like Sully. Sully is a big boy. Now, I was at the radio station earlier this morning. You and I were looking at Sully's photo, and he's got a lot of personality. What a handsome boy.
Yes.
Look at that On the photo gallery that you'll see under Solly's profile at BangorHumane.org, I think there are three photo options. And I love the second one, where he's just looking straight ahead. I mean, he looks almost like, you know, he's listening to his favorite piece of music, or he's watching his favorite TV show. Maybe he's even a contestant on Jeopardy. Just look at that face.
He's a highly intellectual dog right there, I'm telling you. He's smart. Absolutely. He
He's a very active boy. Mm. He's a very strong boy, but he's also, he has a great personality. He still has a lot of puppy in him. Solly is 9 months old.
Mm-hmm.
He's mixed breed. He weighs about 88 pounds.
Wow.
So, you know, he's a good-sized boy, but he's got so much love, and he will warm your heart. We don't have a lot of background information about him, so we're not really sure how he would do with other animals. There would have to be, if you wanted to adopt him, you know, we would do what we call a dog-to-dog meeting. After the family meets him, if you have a dog, you bring your dog in, and we have a dog-to-dog meeting and make sure that would go okay. Small children may be tough because he is so big and so strong, and he has such a large puppy personality that, you know, sometimes he doesn't realize how strong he is.
Sure.
But he's a very playful boy, big personality. He's going to make you laugh. We love Solly, and you could come meet him today here at Bangor Humane Society on Mount Hope Avenue.
Okay, 1 o'clock, right?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, oh, man, that's even better.
Even better.
Yeah.
12 o'clock, time to rock. You come on in here. We're going to open the doors. And I want to tell you a little bit about a couple of cats, and we have a few cats that came in together, Tom,
mm-hmm.
And we like to see them adopted together because, you know, they lived together in their previous home,
sure.
And they look to each other for reassurance and for their confidence, and that's one of the reasons why we want them to go home together. And two of them are Hannah and Montana. Very clever, right?
Yep.
Hannah is an adult feline, about a year and 5 months old, and her sister, Montana, is the same. And they came in together.
Mm.
They love each other so much. They have such a strong bond that we really want them to be adopted together. And we think that also if they go together, that's going to help them adjust to their new environment. Because
sure.
Every kitty, whenever you take them out of the environment they're used to, there's always an adjustment period.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I adopted an elderly cat one time. This was a long time ago. And I was a little bit nervous because she disappeared down the basement stairs, and she would not come upstairs.
Mm.
So after a couple of days, I put her food in her litter box down there, and my friends here at Bangor Humane Society were kind of helping me, saying, just leave the door open a bit. When she feels confident enough, she will come up. And sure enough, after 2 weeks, she did. And then she was fine. There was no more going back to the basement. So they sometimes just need a little bit of time to adjust to new surroundings. But Hannah and Montana would make wonderful cats for your home. They love each other, and they will love you. Meet them today here at Bangor Humane Society on Mount Hope Avenue. Now, we have about 35 cats on the website right now, Tom.
Yeah.
And we have some that don't have pictures yet. Those photos will be going up soon. We also have cats who are here who are being evaluated that have not yet gone on the website. So we have quite a feline collection, quite a collection of felines, right, full of fun and frivolity. They're waiting for you.
Well, you know, it's a cheap date for if you want some frivolity in your life to be at the Bangor Humane Society at noontime, and you have till 6 p.m. today, right? Noon to 6?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep, noon to 6 today.
So you got the whole afternoon. You go to the art show in Bangor. You could do some shopping. Swing by Bangor Humane. Meet your next best friend.
Absolutely. That is a great idea. Today would be a great day for an adoption.
Every day is a great day for an adoption, but today is the day.
That's
need
right.
to come in. And it's Saturday.
If
you know, you're off.
If anything will make the sun come out, it would be that.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that one.
All right. Tom, thanks so much for including this segment on your show. I keep hearing from people who listen and they hear it. And we know that people are responding because they're coming in to adopt because they heard about these animals on Hot and Cold. So thank you.
That's good. Thank you, Mike. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So a couple things. Let's see. We've got some text messages have come in. First one, banjo related. I know it's hard to believe, but have you experimented with tempering the wood like they do with baseball bats to increase the hardness? No, I haven't. Matter of fact, my friend who was listening to the radio this morning online down in Connecticut, Dick Guggenheim, who is a banjo, he's a banjo builder, but I would call him a luthier. He has more talent than I can think about for making instruments. He, before anybody else I was aware of, was baking wood to densify it, to make it harder. His dear wife, Sharon, tolerated him for a while baking wood in their kitchen oven before he before he had to. And they're still married. Before he had to get his own oven out in the garage to bake the wood, and I have stuff that he's baked for me. Sound like we're making it. I've had instruments that look like I had one in particular look. I still have it. It's all walnut, and it was a pot somebody had made for a banjo, and it looked like a chocolate cake. My wife bought it for me, and we subsequently got a neck made for it. And but it wasn't baked. It was a non-baked cake, banjo, whatever. Anyway, I have not done that. I'm not sure I need to. This design is so different. Everything I'm doing is so kind of off on a tangent from conventional banjo construction. And once I start showing some photos, you'll see the difference. By the way, I almost forgot. I did put a whole bunch of instruments on Craigslist yesterday. So there's stuff showing up out there. And there's also one for sale at Bernunzio Vintage Instruments. I think it's Bernunzio.com if you want to look it up. Let's see. Next one. Tom, what do you think of the late model Nissan Leaf for local commuter vehicle? They're pretty cheap. They are pretty cheap. They're a great deal. The wild card here is what's the disposition of the battery? Can you get one that's still under warranty? That's not an imperative. And an example I give you is I picked up a 2012 Nissan Leaf that we have for sale. It started out life in 2012. It was 74 miles range. That was when the car was new. 74 miles range in 2012 was awesome. It's not anything great. And that has dropped down to around 50 miles range. Although I know if this car is cycled, you know, the batteries are charged, discharged, I think it'll build up a little more capacity than that. But 50-mile range car, it's cheap. It's an inexpensive car. It's for driving in town or being out on an island. It's a perfect car for island use. At any rate, yes. And you can replace the batteries if you need to. And it's less expensive. It's not like a Tesla where you're going to spend tens of thousands, over 10 grand to change out a battery. It can be done. I don't know anybody who's doing it, but I know it can be done. And it's not a nightmare. It's just... you have to find somebody who can do it. I'm sure the dealer could, but that may not be the way to go. Let's see. Excuse me. Do you stain the wood on your banjos? Not yet. This one is one of the first ones that I've actually put a finish on. I just used an oil finish. I like oil finish. I have a lot of the instruments, a lot of the necks I get have a... lacquer finish, and I really dislike the lacquer finish, you know, and a lot of the I have a One of the instruments I was working on, I'm using an old Ibanez neck. Ibanez is a Korean brand. And I picked it up cheap. And I said, this is perfect for doing what I want to do, experimenting on stuff. And I love it. It's a great neck. It was really inexpensive. But it's got a really thick lacquer finish, which I dislike. And I have removed the finish from some necks that I've used. I have one in my shop for sale right now that is a Aida neck, another Korean brand. I had that glossy finish. And I'm like, you know what? Let's see if I can get the finish off, you know, sand it off. And I did. And it's a mahogany neck. It looks a lot better. And a quick oil finish on it. I much prefer that to anything else. So at some point I may stain, but I'm using red oak. The natural beauty, well, you get an oil finish on that and it just pops. And that's enough for me. So let's see. So a couple things. Before I forget, I want to tell you about our friends at General Appliance, open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday on Center Street and Brewer. Looking for appliance parts and service, you know where to find them. Center Street and Brewer, 989-4341 is their number. That's 989-4341. Parts, service, reconditioned appliances, all right there. That's easy. My buddy Massimo opens in 11 minutes. If you're looking for some good food and some fun talk with an Italian guy, you definitely, if you've been there, if you've met Massimo, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a hoot. Let's see. Getting back to car stuff for a little bit. We had a car. We put some new tires on, and we noticed it had a little bit of a wobble. We thought maybe it's an alignment issue because they were new tires, newly balanced. Actually, we had them rebalanced, and still was there. So we had an alignment done. Actually, got a little bit worse. It turned out we had a bad tire. Happens every once in a blue moon, but it happened, and we had, you know, got the tire replaced. It was a new tire, so that wasn't a big deal, and that solved that problem. So that stuff does happen. You do get bad parts from once in a while. Doesn't happen very often, but it does occur. It's nobody's fault other than it happens. I got an email this week, you know. If you listen to Car Doctor on Sunday morning, he has probably a slightly more negative view about electric cars than I do. And one of his big concerns is the lithium batteries, and everybody's kind of wound up about lithium. You know, it's a resource that is limited given what we might do if we become an electric car economy, if you will. And I've seen glimmers of this, and I'm kind of shocked. And so I've seen glimmers of people discussing sodium batteries. And if you look on the periodic table, sodium and lithium are in a similar area in terms of characteristics and stuff. And generally, sodium batteries for years, which worked really well. I mean, they go back a ways, but the original sodium batteries were heated, and it was liquid sodium, and it's like 600 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that. And you know, it's like, wait a minute, are you kidding me? How does that make any practical sense? Well, apparently, and I've seen this online, I've read about it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for this. There's a more conventional style sodium battery, doesn't have to be heated. And it's making its way in the marketplace. And there's a company that I've had contact with who makes a lithium replacement cell for Priuses, hence, you know, our contact. I haven't done any of these replacements because I've been a little, the nickel metal hydride batteries that are in conventional Priuses are pretty benign. They work. They don't. You know, they occasionally fail. You can rebuild the packs. It's not a big deal. The lithium replacement is a great concept. It's lighter. It's got more capacity. It actually increases your miles per gallon. But I've been on the bleeding edge of technology a lot over the years, and it's never always a wonderful place to be. They call it a bleeding edge for a reason, or the bleeding edge for a reason. And I've shed my fair share of blood. So I'm going to wait. I don't want to. I just want to wait. And the cost was up there a little bit. The company that's doing this has come out with a sodium battery because they were having issues with the lithium battery. Now, this is a small, relatively small company, and it didn't surprise me they had a problem. I had heard they had were having some issues, and I felt kind of relieved that I had not gone out to the bleeding edge of battery technology. They're going to be offering next month and into September a couple of different steps along the way, a sodium-based battery. So I got online and I started looking around to see who's making sodium-based batteries. And there's a lot of people doing this. The general theory was that maybe a sodium battery is more appropriate for utility-scale storage because it can't hold as much energy as a lithium battery per pound. But looking around, apparently they're a lot closer to lithium in terms of energy capacity, but they have a couple of pluses. Sodium is readily available. It's not hard to get. It's inexpensive. And in fact, the batteries that this company is offering were less expensive than the lithium batteries, which is interesting. It's safer, much, much safer. Also, you can draw it way, you can pull it down to zero. You're not supposed to do that with any battery, pull it right down to zero. And you can with these. So, if you're interested, just Google sodium EV battery and you'll see the hits on it and you can find out some information if it's of interest to you. It may be something. It's got some kinship with lithium batteries. So that's an interesting process. Speaking of interesting processes, we got to take a break. It's top of the hour. Comes quick. We'll be back in a bit. Pete will be with us next hour. Got a lot to talk about still. Hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay right there. We'll be right back. we're back. Big drum solo. The big drum solo brings us back. Hour number two. It's 9:07. It's hot and cold. Saturday morning. Sing, sing, sing. Yeah. What a great song. Written by Mr. Luigi Prima from New Orleans back in 1936. And it's got staying power. You know, if Louis Prima did nothing else in his entire lifetime, that clinched it. But he did a lot more than that. So anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478 if you'd like to call in. Pete will be with us shortly, I believe. We've been having cars flying out, and I know he's got people coming in today, but we'll see when they come. Also, Big Art Show downtown Bangor. My youngest child, my daughter Hillary, is displaying for the second year, and she's down across from Bagel Central. So if you're in downtown, you tell her father sent you over. And let's do this. We'll go over to line one right there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello. Mr. Gozer, I was beginning to think you might have a tape show this weekend. Hey, about your little clip problem there. You were telling about you wanted some really fine needle-nose pliers.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to a medical supply store, I think a set of forceps might help you out. They get them in all kinds of sizes and configurations.
That's a thought. I just spoke to my daughter during the break. I was shopping this morning. She is continuing to shop for me. And we'll see what we come up with. But that's if we're sucking wind after all this, we'll give that a try. I appreciate it. That's a good thought. Thank you. And he's gone. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. We got somebody on line two. We'll go right back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? No, we're not. I got a text message. What's your take on natural gas home heating? Okay. You know, it's a thing. I think, depending on the heat load, you could possibly be doing something similar with heat pumps and have dehumidification and air conditioning for this time of year integrated in for about the same fuel cost. The $64 question is, can you have a system that will carry your whole heating load? And that's a question you have to ask the installer, because they're going to have to do a heat loss calculation on your building. But that would be the other possibility. A gas system, there's nothing wrong with it. It'll drop in to replace probably what is oil at this point and do a decent job. I'll be honest, I don't even know where gas costs are in our area. I do know, certainly in the Bangor market, there, you know, it's all over the place, but the down where I am, there are little areas where there is gas availability. The house we had on Broadway is now running off gas. I see there's a meter on the side. I'm curious what they have for a boiler. I want to go knock on the door. What do you got for a boiler these days? I'm not going to do that. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Arthur from Cal Plantation. I just picked up a 2005 Dodge pickup truck, and it came straight from Florida.
Oh, wow.
No rust on it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bit of rust. You can still see the paint on the frame.
Yeah.
It's still kind of black.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what you recommend. I know you use the wool wax at your shop. You need your best advice on that.
Wool wax is my material of choice. There's another product called wax oil, which they say is a one-time application. I have reservations about anything that says it's a one-time deal and you never have to do it again. I think it's more logical to apply a product like wool wax or fluid film and check it every year and just touch it up. You don't necessarily, or even yeah. Recoat the whole thing. I mean, when you have a yeah. vehicle that's pristine, it's kind of nice yes. to keep it that way. And checking it once a year, and maybe doing a complete reapplication every couple of years. It's not a huge expense given the alternative of having to, you know, do major surgery.
Okay. Exactly what do they undercoat underneath the car?
Everything but the exhaust, pretty much.
Okay, did they do suspension and so forth?
Do they do what?
The suspension.
Oh, suspension. Absolutely, yeah. Yes, yes. The whole deal. Okay. And, you know, I would ask if you're waiting for the vehicle to be done, which is, you know, conceivable, just to have a peek while it's on the lift when they're done, just so you can see how it looks. Yeah. You know, when you've got a vehicle like this where it's pristine, it makes sense to protect. You know, you got to protect it. We're in Maine, and if it's got any exposure, even peripheral, it's just cheap insurance.
My snow car is an old K3500, and that's plenty rusty, and that's what I'm going to use when it gets really bad. I'm not going to use this car. It's going to stay the same.
Good.
What can they expect to pay on that?
I think for a truck, about $200.
Okay. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Enjoy your program.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah. We have a 2009 Toyota Venza. We picked up at auction. I think it had 130-something thousand miles on it. That came from Florida. It's a gas car. It's not a hybrid. And underneath looked like it's a brand new car. And what is it? 15 years old, 16 years old, depending on the model year we're at. I'm not sure which one we're in. But let's call it 15 years old. And it looks brand new. I have had, I think there was a car we got from Wyoming that was older, that looked very similar. I don't know what they do on the roads of Wyoming, but I think we should be doing it. Let's see, text message, have to give Peter a few minutes to get his submarine and surface. Yeah. Okay. recently worked on a Craftsman lawnmower and the factory sticker said no maintenance on oil, do not change, just stop off. Do you believe that? Yeah, I do. You talk about arrogance and stupidity all rolled into one. There's still stuff coming out. There was something recently, a car that something was sealed on. And I'm like, come on. And this goes back to what I was talking about first hour, where they're making things harder to take apart. And a great example of this is, I think, almost any vehicle that an internal combustion, regular car, truck, automatic transmission, there's no dipstick. There is a dipstick. There is a dipstick. You have to have the vehicle on a lift, or you have to be underneath the vehicle, and it's about an inch, or maybe 3 inches long. And it's somewhere on the top or side of the transmission. And you've got to get underneath there to remove that to check the oil level, the transmission fluid level. Now that's awful. The rationale is they want you to take it wherever to get it serviced, as opposed to you're just being able to monitor what's going on. God forbid you have a leak. You don't know it till you take out your transmission or a light comes on and maybe saves your transmission. That's not right for what we're spending on vehicles. That's just stupid. I'm sorry. It is. I got to take a break. I got to take some deep breaths. I got to calm down. Why do they do these things? We know why. Anyway, it's Hot and Cold. We'll be right back.
Every evening, when all my days work are through, I call my baby and ask her what's up with you. I met some movies, but she don't seem to dig that. And then she asks me, why don't I come through her flat and have some supper and let the evening pass by? I'm making records, this sounds a groovy hi-fi. I say, yeah, yeah. And that's what I say, yeah, yeah. My baby loves me, she gets me feeling so fine. She loves me,
She makes me know that she's mine. And when she kisses, I feel the fire get hot. She never misses. She gives it all that she's got. And when she asks me if everything is okay, I got my answer. The only thing I can say, I say yeah, yeah. That's what I say yeah, yeah. We'll play a melody and turn the lights down low so the night can see. We gotta do that. Alive in all the world except you and me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Pretty baby, I never need you to throw. It's hard to tell you because I'm trembling so. But pretty baby.
All right, we're back. 9:22. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning, and we're going to go over to line three. The governor is the state of Maine. The governor, is that you?
You know, I just actually had a thought.
Yeah?
This is going to get me the election. I won't even have to say anything after this.
Okay.
All right, I'll be governor, I'll be president, senator, whatever you want to write me in for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
If a bank lends money out,
yeah,
on numerous, you know, banks lend money out for numerous things. They lend it out for cars and houses and businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they have to average the interest rate that they're lending money out at. Whatever that average is, the bank is going to be required by law of the president here or the governor to pay 50% of that amount in interest to its account holders.
Okay.
So, like, if they're lending money out and the money they lend out averages out to 9% across the board, then they are required to pay at least 4.5% interest to the account holders, because it's their money they're lending.
Yeah, that's
right. Now they lend money out at whatever, and they give everybody half of 1%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that ain't happening, Pete.
I could feel the wave of agreement though from the audience.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Hey, they want to do business in my state, that's what they're going to do.
Okay. All right.
And there will be a bank that will want to do it. And then banks will have motivation to have low interest rates.
Okay. Good deal.
Yeah, or very high interest rates, but then everybody will put their money in that bank and make a lot of money.
Okay.
Win-win.
Win-win. That could be, Pete, win-win, Gosi for governor. I like it. I like it.
That would look good on the poster.
I think it would.
Vote for Pete. It's a win-win.
Everybody's a winner. Oh, man. I was talking a little bit about the fact that there's no dipstick on cars anymore. You know, you have to get underneath the vehicle for transmission. And yep. And I just want to qualify one aspect of this. I don't think electric cars are any simpler. They should be, but they're not.
Transmissions have a dipstick?
And probably not. They different animal completely, but again, you should be able to check that or at least have a warning if it's low fluid, which is reasonable. I mean, if you had some kind of system like on a, who was, I had somebody who had a Prius and it went into limp mode. If something's not working right, and this happens with cars, regular cars too, it'll go into limp mode to protect the electronics or the transmission or the engine or whatever. That's a great thing. I mean, there's a step where a little bit of electronic complexity, which is not necessarily a great expense, it makes perfect sense. But I'm not sure that's done as it should be. But I've been lamenting, like, taking the dashboard apart yesterday. And I've sent pictures to people of the car with the dashboard out. And it's
daunting.
It humbles you just to think, oh my God, what is this thing? But
there's some technician somewhere that could do that with his eyes shut.
Yeah, and honestly, if this was something I had done as many times as I have on maybe a second generation Prius, I could almost do it with my eyes closed. You know where all the screws are. You know where all the plugs are. I have to say, there's been more plugs. Not a hell of a lot more, but it's different. But it is what it is.
But as far as your transmission thing goes, I was last Saturday, actually, after work, I went for a run out to Albion. I was coming back, and I thought I felt the transmission slip at one point. And then at one point I glanced at the RPMs, and they look high to me. So when I got back, I checked my transmission fluid, because my car is old, and it's got a dipstick.
Hmm.
And the transmission fluid was fine. So, you know, the air conditioning was running, too, and yeah, that always does weird stuff as far as the... the RPMs go and all that. And I was, I was going down a hill, but I was braking because a state trooper just appeared behind me. So,
doesn't that just ruin your
the
day?
The thing is, when I got back, I could verify that the transmission fluid was okay because I have access to the dipstick.
Yeah. Doesn't ruin your day when a cop pulls up behind you.
I was on 130. Here's the thing: I was on 137. I'm coming back. It's a nice stretch of road. No pothole. Not a lot of potholes. Not like most places in Maine.
Yeah.
Little traffic. And I thought, well, I'm going to make good time on the way back. On the way there, I didn't know where I was going. The way back, I do. And then he just pops up right behind me. And here's the thing. I don't know where he's going. Maybe he's going home, and he's frustrated, and I'm doing 50,
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and I don't, I'm not a speed demon or anything. I was going like 60 or something when he showed up, and the speed limit was like 50, 55.
Yeah. I ride with Pete and Maria, and it's like, oh, God, can we go a little faster, please?
I do drive kind of like an old lady.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. We accept
it's better for your car.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a text message here. We have a 2006 Volvo XC70. Great car. I'm saying that. It's not in the message. That I wanted to have oil undercoated. Excuse me. I asked the service person at the dealership. It was Forum Volvo pre-undercoats every vehicle and only the parts that should be undercoated. And only the parts that should be undercoated, you never need to have it done again. Does this sound right? I'd probably look it up on the Volvo website. Your opinion is appreciated. It's got 228K on it now. I want to get it to 300. Well, I would peek underneath. And, you don't have to necessarily put it on a lift. A lot of times if I'm at a car auction, I want to see underneath the car. And, the Prius is kind of low to the ground. I'll just take my cell phone and take photos, just move around underneath it. Front and rear suspension is the areas that I'm most concerned about, but the area where the rocker panels are right in front of the rear wheels is where a lot of stuff gets kicked up, and that's where if we have to do any rust repair, that's where we're doing it. So
I spent a lot of time on the ground at the auction pushing into those areas to see what happens.
So that's what you want to check. I have my doubts that it's especially a car that's 18 years old isn't going to show some rust. But honestly, I haven't seen a lot of rusty Volvos out there. So it may be.
That's true. And they use very heavy steel, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like a Scion. Scion is the opposite of... they use relatively thin metal, and it shows.
We've got a Scion coming up for sale, by the way.
I know, which we did. We had to do repair on the rockers, but it actually was in pretty decent shape. But that is coming up. That's a nice car.
That's a good segue into that.
Yeah,
what it probably is they do that. They do it, and the when the factory does it before it even rolls off the truck, that factory undercoating, it's a rubberized undercoating. It is pretty robust. So that'll buy you a lot of life. My concern with that over the course of 18 years, though, would be rocks and things getting kicked up under the car and banging into it and banging into it. And before you know it, you got little holes in it, which might not seem like much, but if moisture gets in there, how does it get back out again if the rest of it's rubberized?
Yeah.
The you know, if you did a like a fluid film kind of undercoating, that would get into anything open, any scaling, and it would displace any moisture that's in there.
Yeah.
I don't think you would lose. I don't think it's going to hurt anything to have it fluid filmed on top of that. You said an oil-based undercoating, which I'm assuming you mean like wax oil. I had that done to a personal car. I wasn't super impressed with it. I saw orange peeking through pretty quick, you know.
And it was expensive.
So it was expensive. I got a deal on it because I know people. But you know, since I just do wool wax or fluid film on my cars, I think that's just fine.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break here, we'll play this just because. Well, no, I'm going to hold off because. Pete's snuck in at the wrong time. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and Pete's with us. Now, is that good or what? What a day, huh?
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic.
We're back, 9:36, hot and cold Saturday morning. The fortunate one is over there on line three. That would be Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
And
I'm still here.
You're still there. That's good.
I get a kick out of it when it rains during, like holiday weekends.
You do, huh? Well,
your
sister's trying to sell art up in Bangor under a tent. It's not raining in Bangor, by the way.
She's got a 10. She's fine.
Is it raining down there in Stockton this morning?
It's misty. It's like foggy, and you know, it's not. It could start drizzling at any moment.
It's always foggy in Stockton Springs. I'm not sure why, but it's just the way the nature of the bay there, the harbor, Stockton Harbor. We got some text messages here, Pete. I want to thank you for the heads up about the pause in road construction. Took a ride. I've been putting off from Ellsworth to Belfast on Monday. It was smooth sailing. Plus, I got to see your new pavement at the shop, and it looks great. Some sweet. Yes, thank you. Yeah, we got, two more days, and then they're back to road work. But they're on the downhill side of this. I mean, really, there's only technically about two, maybe two and a half lanes of one section to finish up. And then it's just dealing with curbs and reseeding and driveway cuts and stuff like that. It's really, they're 71% complete. So I think Pete needs to call back. He got disconnected somehow. Let's see. Thank you so very much, Tom and Pete. We'll look into fluid film undercoating. We have a great mechanic here in Maine, and we'll look have him look at it. Excuse me. I wonder if Pete had a customer. Maybe that's why he got disconnected. That could be. Somebody walked in. Let's see. I was going to save this in case Pete comes back, but tell Pete my friend Paulie Walnuts will give him the La Casa Nostra rate for a loan. Just don't miss any payments if you like your kneecaps. You know, some of the companies that have gotten in touch with me for business lending. We're in that Paulie Walnuts kind of realm of things. So for what it's worth, the phone number is 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478. I just want to mention with some dismay the fact that our friends at Tozier's Market in Searsport closed this week. I've known the folks who run the store for a while. There's been a lot of stuff in social media about what happened and what's what. And, you know, we really don't know the story. Just know that it's never good when a business closes. And I hope things sort out for everybody concerned, the employees, the owners. It's got to be a tough business keeping that kind of operation going. And like I say, we don't know all that transpired, but it's never good. And my heart goes out to everybody concerned and the community. I'm sure it will not stay vacant for long or unopened for long. At least I hope not, because we do need to have that proximity as opposed to having to go much further away to get, you know, get the Cheerios. Let's see. I got a message. Ground damp in Rockport, not raining. Yeah, in Bangor, it's not raining. It was spritzing a little bit this morning, but it's not bad. I hope it stays that way for all the folks who are setting up in downtown. I may try to sneak in downtown and see how things are going after the show. I've had this issue going on at home. I mentioned it a while ago. I had a outlet-mounted GFI that I needed to replace. And the first one was in the kitchen counter. And I replaced it, and there's been no issue since. I had one in the bathroom, and that one was doing the same thing. It would trip for no obvious reason. I replaced that one last weekend. And now I have another one that's been tripping intermittently for no reason. Fortunately, I've got one outside on the porch that I believe is tripped, and I'd gotten a replacement for that, and I guess I'll use the one I got for the porch inside for the time being and then go back and get another one. And, you know, years ago, when we built our first house, we built it on top of a hill in Clifton. It's called Rebel Hill. And it's right on top of the hill. And when we would get thunderstorms, you know, the lightning, there was a lot of lightning right around there. And we live on a hill again, not as high as Rebel Hill was. But I'm suspecting we had a similar kind of thing. There was a surge that took this thing out. I just hope it's not a regular thing. let's go over to line two, see what's going on. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? Nobody there. All right. Let's try that again. 1-800-966-1039 is the is the phone line. 601-207-4478. Damp over to Swan Lake. Humidity is wicked high. Yeah, the humidity is really, you know, I've got the Mongo dehumidifier I got last August, September, and it did a pretty good job of pulling the house humidity way down, and now it's struggling. It's been challenged in the most recent week or so. It's not been happy. We had something else going on this, it was last week. I had some security cameras that I hadn't put in for the office, and I put them in, and we set it up so it triggers, you know, if there's movement or something, it'll come on when we're not there. And we have to tweak it a little bit because I got about 100 notices last night that the camera was on. Let's go over to line two. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? We're doing well here. Let's try that again. Let's drop that one. Try line one. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
Listen to it every time I can. I'd like to know the telephone number or the address of the place you got the $200 undercoating.
I think most places will do it. You could check with Searsport Automotive in Searsport. Just Google it for the phone number. The other place you could try would be in Winterport, Gage's Auto Care. He does undercoating. And I think a lot of local mechanics do it. It's not, you don't have to have a lot of elaborate equipment to apply undercoating. So I hope that helps. There's some places that charge $1,000, $2,000, something like that. Again, I'm skeptical of anything that says it's going to be permanent, especially when it's a vehicle that's on the road and stuff is banging up against the bottom of your car. And it reminds me of years ago, when I was young and stupid, as opposed to being old and numb. I was interested in getting a Mercedes, and there was somebody who always had a cheap Mercedes for sale. And I would go look at it, and the cheap Mercedes always had outrageous rust issues. But the bottom of the car was undercoated with a thick rubber coating. And I'm trying to think what would be akin to, but it was a thick rubber coating. But it would, if it got a nick in it, you know, and this was maybe a 30 mils thick. It was pretty substantial thickness. Moisture would get, and Pete talked about this when he was on before, water would get in, and of course salt, and it would be protected by where there was no nick in the coating, and it rotted out the whole floor of the car. The difference with the lanolin-based products, the oil-based type materials, is lanolin being different than oil, but some similarities. Lanolin in particular, the fluid film and wool wax, is if it nicks, it will tend to flow back together, especially if you're continuing to maintain it. Or it will not trap the way the rubberized material, the thick rubber would. Now, the stuff that we could buy for years, they called rubberized undercoating or just undercoating, is usually, excuse me, kind of like a tar-based product. And my experience has been that it's very permeable to moisture. So you can apply it. It looks great. It seems like it's sealed, but if it's underneath the car, you'll see all these little rust spots of not big rust, like cancerous rust, but little spots, tiny spots of orange rust that's coming through the undercoating. Obviously it's not either not thick enough or it's not sealed right. But the these newer products, I think, are a step above. So now the thing is, this is not a bad time of year to get it done. Now into autumn, before we've had enough rain, we've had tons of rain, moisture to wash off a lot of underneath the car. It would not hurt to take the car to the car wash and get the underneath cleaned and let it dry for a day if you're getting it undercoated as well, just to get a good wash. But just naturally, you get a decent wash just driving around in this kind of weather where it's raining. And then you're kind of prepped for it. I know the wool wax has a rust preventative in it. How good it is, I'm not sure, but it's just an extra thing to have when it comes to that sort of thing. Remember Z-Bart? I do remember Z-Bart. God, that makes us old, doesn't it? it was not cheap. And I think it worked reasonably well, but that was more of a something that set up when it was applied. One of my sons is going to be a chainsaw carving at the art show today. Cool. I'm fascinated as one who spent years working with a chainsaw. I'm fascinated by people who do chainsaw art. And, I think they said, Michelangelo said, you just take away the parts of the marble that don't look like what you're, that shouldn't be there. And I always liken folks who do chainsaw art to that sort of thing. Going back to what I discussed first hour about making musical instruments, there's a reason I've made banjo necks, and there's a reason I don't do it is because I don't want to do it, is I don't make them enough, and it takes a tremendous amount of time. Although if I had a chainsaw, maybe that would work. I actually bought some grinding wheels that you would put on a rotary grinder that are for removing wood. I thought, well, I could use that for making necks, but you have to have a gentle touch. I'm not sure I have that touch. Some text messages coming in. Have you heard any efforts to use ammonia as a no carbon fuel? I know in the past it's been used in large refrigeration systems. Seems like it's been around so long. If ammonia was practical as fuel, someone would have done it by now. Well, in a refrigeration system, ammonia is in a sealed system. It's not being used as a fuel. It's used as a refrigerant. So I've heard about it. I've seen clips about it using ammonia. I don't suspect that's going to be a viable thing, but, what do I know? We'll wait and see. If it can survive in the marketplace, it's gonna. I have my doubts. I think there's more of a potential for a hydrogen fuel, and I don't think that's ready for prime time either. But a hydrogen fuel has, I think, more potential. But I haven't looked at it to see what the chemistry is for creating ammonia. I don't know. Somebody has asked me if I remember Rusty Jones. I do remember Rusty Jones. He was Z-Bart's cousin, wasn't he? Here's one. I just had my Ram 1500 Z-Bart at $800 with a lifetime warranty. That's right. They did have a lifetime warranty. It'll be interesting to see. You have the luxury now of having had it done to keep an eye on it, see what it does. And, if you have a lifetime warranty like that, I wonder if you have a corrosion failure or you get a hole somewhere, do they pay to fix it? Now, that would be cool. That'd be worth $800 to me all day long. I'd get it done for that. If it rusts out, of course, they have to be around, but Z-Bart's been around for a while. If that's the warranty, that's fantastic. That isn't always the case, though. There's companies I deal with that sell, used auto parts, and they have warranties. You can get, 6 month. Usually, you buy a used part, you have a 6 month warranty. You can also buy for a little bit extra money a 6 month parts and labor warranty, and you can go up from there to even a lifetime warranty on a used auto part. Not all things you can get a lifetime warranty, but I know in the past I've gotten transmissions. I want a parts and labor warranty because a lot of time I've had the experience more with transmissions than engines of getting a bad transmission. And it's great that they'll replace the transmission, but it's the labor that's the killer. I mean, when it comes to swapping out an engine, I'll spend as much on the labor to swap out that engine as I would for the engine. So, and on some cars, maybe more. The 2004 to 2009 Priuses, just because this is an example I have in my head, those engines never fail. So you can buy that engine as a replacement engine for $300 to $600. You ain't getting it put in for $300 to $600. I can tell you that. It'd be more like $800, maybe $1,000 even. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's involved in doing it. Let's see. Wikipedia link to Rusty Jones right there. Oh, there's nothing there. Okay. Well, thank you for that link, I guess. We're just about out of time. What else? Anything else I've missed here? I look over all my notes. Oh, my goodness. It's been quite a week. When you stop and look at the things I've been dealing with making instruments, The thing that I just love is the fact that we have such a wide variety of tools that you can use. And the one that I mentioned first hour I got was the biscuit joiner. That thing is, to me, is just such a cool technology. It's pretty benign. You really would have to try to hurt yourself in using it because, you know, it is a powerful tool. But it does such a fantastic job. When I originally used it back 20-some years ago, my friend Jim loaned it to me. I was building stairs. We had oak treads, and the stairs went up and had to turn 90 degrees. So I had three triangular steps that I had to put wood together to get the width. And I used this biscuit joiner for that, and it came out great. I was very concerned. I mean, triangles and me are not a good trigonometry, and Tom Gosi don't mix well. So, but the joint part and cutting the wood, even I did not mess it up. That was a great day. The biscuit joiner, just a great tool. I'm glad that I have it. And for me, it's a keepsake because it belonged to a good friend of mine. Quick message. Do you remember an undercoating called Rusty Jones? Yeah. That was the name. Yeah. We've been talking about that. And ammonia is only nitrogen and hydrogen, so all the energy is coming from the hydrogen, I believe. Could be. It may be that it's more manageable, although I think, I'm going from memory now, I think ammonia is fairly corrosive, but I guess anything's doable. All it takes is time and money. We got plenty of that, right? We got to go. We're out of time. I'll have a great week. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Drive careful. The life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go around like there's snow around. I feel so good. It's Christmas every day. Lee, I've a carousel fee.